my message for today starts, scriptural verses or sermonic verses are 36 and 37. Which now, Jesus asked the young lawyer, of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want to talk with you from the subject, do not just know what is right, do what is right. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do not just know what is right, do what is right. Once again, our nation is suffering in the throes of another major crisis, which now seems to come upon us with staggering frequency, unimagined intensity, and sometimes a never before seen twist. Once again, we are forced to face the obvious conclusion that we are totally unprepared and unable to deal with the ravages of some catastrophic natural disasters. It has been shown time and time again that we do not completely learn the lessons produced by previous disasters, and in fact, do not exercise prudent safeguards for the lives and the property of our citizens. There is an old saying from World War II, there are no atheists in foxholes, meaning that in times of extreme stress and fear, such as during war and in disasters, all people will believe in or hope for a higher power. There are no atheists in a thermonuclear war. In the chaos for survival witnessed in Texas, I saw no Ku Klux Klan, no neo-Nazi, no white supremacists, no pro-Confederacy, nor did I see any anti-Ku Klux Klan, anti-neo-Nazi, anti-white supremacists, anti-Confederacy flags, t-shirts, signs, boats, trucks, slogans, nor hands or voices, refusing to help those in need, nor refusing to accept help from those who did not look like or think like them. I applaud all those who put aside their political, social, racial, religious, and personal bigotries and pitched in to help everybody who was in need. They knew what was right, and they did it. I was even encouraged to see the President of the United States go to Texas and Louisiana yesterday and took the time to help fix meals and serve and even take pictures with the people that have been abandoned and stranded and devastated by a week of rain. Can you imagine 50 inches of rain? I believe for some naysayers and some doubters of the word of God that when you have said that it rained 40 days and 40 nights, they said, but that would only cover so much, but it would not cover the world. Well, we saw what 50 inches of rain could do. Imagine 40 days of constant thumping rain coming down from heaven, sent from God, could do on the earth. I don't know if we have too many doubters anymore. We certainly don't in Louisiana and in Texas. Yet, it appears to me that every now and then, we need to be reminded how much we need Jesus. And how much we need each other. Every now and then we get a lesson, a training, and indeed a boot camp, if you will, on how we can, should, and must treat one another in order to survive as a nation and as a species. It is not enough to know what's right. Do what is right. It is these scenes of compassion. It is just unfathomable how many people have lost all of their worldly possessions. Yet I heard not one of them blame God. They said, God heard my prayer and they rescued us. When I thought I was going to die, God. How many people saw the picture of the nursing home where the people are sitting in water up to here who cannot move, and at that moment it goes out over social media and somebody gets in touch with the authorities and the nursing home is evacuated by air. That was God. They said to the people, get an axe or a hammer, and rather than waiting in your attic, go up and knock a hole in the roof and climb out. And indeed, I did see one roof that had two tents anchored to it. Water. And not the first time. Water. It is these scenes of compassion for others which reminded me of the parable of the Good Samaritan. That age-old parable which showed compassion for the compassion of a stranger, a foreign stranger, the compassion he had for a wounded Jewish man, half dead on the Jericho road.
That's right.
The Bible says, as Jesus was teaching in an unknown place, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest or how interpretest thou? Or what would you say to that? And he answering said to Jesus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And thus begins the parable. But what is a parable? It is a simple story designed to communicate a spiritual truth, a religious principle, or a moral lesson, a figure of speech in which truth is illustrated by a comparison or example drawn from everyday experiences. There are four main actors in our play. A wounded man, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. In this parable, will you pray with me today?
Yes.
We are told that somewhere on the Jericho Road, also known as the Bloody Pass, that 17-mile downward winding wilderness which connected Jerusalem to the valley of city of Jericho, the lowest city in the world, I'm told it's just some 800 and some odd feet below sea level, the oldest city in the world, the first actor is introduced. And he is introduced as a man who was attacked by thieves, robbed, stripped of his clothes, wounded, and left half dead along the side of the road in view of the travelers on the road. The road is not as wide as this. And it's dusty. It's not a highway. When you get home, look up, run the reference to the road to Jericho and look at the pictures of how mountainous, how desolate it was. Finally, we must assume of our first actor that he was unconscious and that he was Jewish. When Jesus introduced the second actor, he introduced him as a priest. When he did that, many in the audience would have assumed that help would quickly be given to the man and the story would end with some praise for Judaism. But when the priest passed by the man, the Bible says he saw him and passed by him in this small space. Some listening probably excused the priest by thinking maybe the priest believed the man was pretending and therefore was justified in not helping him, because if the man was pretending, he could have been part of the robbers. So the priest is excused in the minds of some of the audience who heard Jesus as being justified. Then came our third actor, the Levite, whose office was a little lower than a priest. Surely he would save the day. But he too saw him and passed by the wounded man. The audience who heard Jesus would justify his action by saying the man must have been dead, and that neither the priest nor the Levite wanted to defile themselves by touching a dead body, particularly since they were on their way back home for the first time in weeks. And the audience laid hold of that and relaxed. But then Jesus introduces the final actor, a Samaritan, of whom Jesus said, and when he first, I'm going to give you 7 points that Jesus mentions of the man here, and when he saw him, the others saw him also. First point. Second point, he had compassion on him. And third point, went to him. Fourth point, bounded up his wounds, pouring in oil to soothe them and wine as an antiseptic. And then fourth, set him on his own beast. Six, brought him to an end. And seven, took care of him. And on the next day, on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, the innkeeper, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. When the Samaritan became the hero of the story, the audience that heard Jesus would have been indignant, for they hated the Samaritans, who were half Jewish and half Assyrian. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. Then Jesus asked the lawyer the question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Notice, when answering Jesus' question, the young lawyer could not even bring himself to say Samaritan. He simply said, he that showed mercy on him. Such was the deep centuries-old hatred between the Samaritan people and the Jewish people. This story of the Good Samaritan. Notice the Good Samaritan, not simply the Samaritan, but the Good Samaritan, like all the others were not. This story of the Good Samaritan is referred to as a parable spoken by Jesus. And as we know, a parable is a simple story designed to communicate a spiritual truth, religious principle, or moral lesson, a figure of speech in which truth is illustrated by a comparison or example drawn from everyday experience. Are you with me? Now, can I go home? If you allow me, I will share with you another interpretation of this parable. The actor, the wounded man, represents mankind. All mankind lying by the side of the road in need of healing. The robbers are the devil and his demons, who go up the highways and byways of life, in and out of houses, seeking whom he may devour. The priest represents the law of Moses. The Levite represents the Old Testament prophets. Knew they should have, but didn't. The man, the Samaritan, is Christ. The wounds are our disobedience to the word and the will of God. But notice, he says, the Bible says that he takes the man and places him upon his beast. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ carries us all the way to Calvary. Are you with me? The inn, that is the stable, is the church. The one place you should be able to go and get sanctuary, the church. Notice, this church is placed in the most unusual space, on the bloody path. Who would build an inn or a hotel on the bloody path where thieves and robbers are? Who would even believe you could protect yourself I tell you, rich folk wouldn't show up there because there is no security. There were no swimming pools. They had no Wi-Fi. They had nothing to attract people other than they are on the bloody path. But who would be the innkeeper? The Holy Spirit. Not only that, notice the man gave 2 pence. That's not 2 vice presidents, 2 pence. I believe the 2 pence shared is grace and mercy. He left at the end in the church with the Holy Ghost. And then he told the man, look after him until I come again. The Samaritan's return is Christ's second coming. I'm so glad this morning that the Bible warns in James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me say that again. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Or as we say, not to do good when it is in your power to do so is to do evil. Solid Rock, I came to tell you this morning, we must never be callous and self-serving like that priest in Levite, but we must put on the garment of love, the garment of compassion, and the responsibility worn by the Samaritan, by Christ, and be prepared to rescue from certain death and damnation those in danger of the robbers of life. In view of all we've seen this past week, the question becomes, if given the opportunity to help rescue others, would we really help? We know that it's not enough to simply know what is right, but we must be committed to doing what is right. There is one preacher this morning, one congregation that's under a lot of criticism all over the world because they had a big church and they always grinned and said, come to this church. We have 17,000 seats in this church. Come. And when they came, the door was locked. And they had no plans to open the door. Am I right about it? And the excuse was, we have a problem with water. And when that didn't wash, they had another excuse. Nobody asked us. James didn't ask them, but he told them, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, I want to go home. Romans 12:9-21 says, let love be without dissimulation, that is hypocrisy. It tells us to abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Then it said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful or slack in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, and given to hospitality. I'm not done yet. Bless, that is, speak well of them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend the men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit, but recompense, that is, pay back no man evil for evil. Provide things honestly in the sight of all men. And I love this, if it be possible. Now, wait a minute, let me stop there. Now, for those that said, no, I can't do that, then you're lying when you say I can do all things through Christ. I like the way Paul put this. The Holy Spirit said, write it like that, because I'm going to catch somebody. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then he changes tone. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, and he concludes, he said, now I'm going to my close. Well, therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. What? If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do I have a witness? Solid rock. We must never forget that each of us was lying wounded on the side of the road of life. Each of us was sin sick. Each of us had a plague. Some had the plague of dishonesty. Some had a plague of a lusting heart. Some were uncaring for themselves and others. Some were seeking fame and fortune. Some were erratic and irresponsible. Some were self-centered. Some were ravaged by drugs. Some were ravaged by alcohol. Some were homeless. Some were jobless. Some were knowing nothing, and even not even loving themselves, but loving the misery that was around them. But despite our terminal condition, even when others had turned away or passed away from us, the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, saw in us our potential, and he came into our life, poured on the healing power of the Word of God, wrapped up our wounds, bound them up, put them on his shoulder, because the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He placed me on his back, and he carried me to the end, where the Holy Spirit received me and cared for me and cares for me until he returns. Do I have a witness? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so glad that the Good Samaritan didn't go down to Jericho. You see, Jericho is called hell.
Jerusalem is paradise. But when he dropped mankind off into the hands of the innkeeper, do I have a witness? He turned around and went back up the Jericho Road all the way to a hill called Calvary. Do I have a witness? He died, but he didn't stay there. Because early one Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my every zone. Long as I live, when trouble rise, I'll hasten to the innkeeper. I'll hasten to the end. I'll come to church. I'll hear the word. I'll fellowship with the saints. I'll rejoice with the saints. I'll give God praise and worship. But one of these old days, the voice in me is going to stop. The breaths will come no more. But don't worry about me. I put my life in the hands of the innkeeper. Because I know what I know about who I know it about. I know that he is risen from the dead, soon to return for his church. The Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we who are alive and remain. Solid rock. The function of the end, the church. The function of the church is to keep the doors open for all people to come and worship, praise, and serve God according to the word of God. Let's get that straight. You don't come in here and change things, but you come in here, and according to the word of God, worship. We cannot simply know what is right. I came to tell you we must always do what is right. We can't cheat. We don't make duplicate tapes. We don't buy things that are illegal. We don't do things that are unethical. We abide by the word of God. Come on, somebody. From this day forward, we should have no bootleg tapes. From this day forward, you can't afford to buy it, wait. Amen. We cannot pass by people on the street and not speak to them. We can't pass by people in this congregation and not speak to them. Speak to everybody. No matter what, speak to them. I don't care how worried you are, speak. We cannot become a family until we act like a family. Live peaceably with every man. Doesn't mean you have to do everything for everybody. The worst thing we can do is do everything for somebody. We got to teach you how to fish. Can't always give you a fish. May have a cooler full, but we got to teach you. So one day we won't be here. Look around now. Look how many are gone. God's going to restore. He's going to replenish. I'm not worried about that. I don't come here and get discouraged about who's not here. I come and get encouraged about who is. Remember, the wounded man represents all of us.
the robbers of the devil trying to take what is yours. The priests represented the law of Moses, and the Levites represented the law, the Old Testament prophets. The Good Samaritan represents Christ. Our wounds are our disobedience. The beast that he placed us on was his back. Because see, if he carried my sins up to Calvary, he carried me up to Calvary. The inn, the stable, is the church. The innkeeper is the Holy Spirit. The 2 pence, mercy and grace. His returning, it's the second coming of Christ. Are you ready? When you stand before him, I heard him say to the group on the left, depart ye, for when I was sick, you did not visit me. When I was in jail, you did not come. When I was hungry, you did not feed. And they said to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in jail? When did we see you sick? And he says, as much as you have seen one of these, you have seen me. The Bible warns, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. So for some have entertained angels unawares. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you, Lord God, that you have spared Houston and the surrounding communities, that although the water remains high, we pray that your praise, the praise of your name, remains higher. Let them know from whom their blessings flow. That as bad as it was, it could have been a whole lot worse. But that you restrained the weather. That which the devil meant for bad, Lord God, you did not allow to come into the lives of all. And for those whose lives ended, we know that to everything there is a day. There's a time and a purpose, a time to be born and a time to die. So regardless of the circumstance, they were leaving here that day. And we thank you, Lord God, that you place a conscience upon a nation to stop looking so much and stop fighting each other. Stop, Lord God, being in the street. Stop tearing down statues and start loving one another. Start looking and trying to understand how the other person reached the conclusion they did. If you will teach us how to do that, you will teach us how to evangelize, because then we will understand and be equipped to help and answer any questions of any and all unsaved. So we thank you. Now, Lord God, bless, keep, save our president, our government, and the governments of this world. Lord God, you're able. If you saved us, you can save him. Lord God, if you've taught us to control our tongue, you can teach him. So Lord God, I just pray right now. Because if he is successful, we will be successful. So Lord, we thank you as we bless and praise your name this day. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Amen. Do not just know what is right. Do what is right.